Good evening.
Good evening. Open up your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. I will meet you there in just a moment. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. Do you believe that? There is power in the life-giving flow that Jesus Christ shed on the cross. And as we look at the words of the song and think about the words of the song that we just sang, one of the blessings we want to spend some time this evening talking about is the blessing of forgiveness. Forgiveness. See, there are a number of different aspects that we could talk about with regard to the blood of Christ. We could talk about the way that the blood of Christ reconciles us to God. We can talk about the way that the blood of Christ is something that can that shows the imperfection of the Old Testament system. We can talk about how it is the blood of Christ is something that cleanses us continually, and we'll touch on that this evening. But certainly, what we appreciate most about the power in the blood is the forgiveness that it offers. You've heard the old story, perhaps, about the Spanish. It was a Spanish story about a father and son who had become estranged. The son ran away from the father, and the father set off to find him, and he searched for months and months and months in all the different towns and villages and couldn't find his son to try and make it right. And finally, in a last desperate act, the father put an ad in the Madrid newspaper, and the ad read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you." When Saturday at noon came, there were 800 Pacos that were there ready to receive forgiveness from their fathers. People want forgiveness. People crave forgiveness. When you think about how it is that we have the blessing of forgiveness, and we have that blessing of forgiveness only through the blood of the Lamb, how is it that we spend so much time and so many petty things visiting with our friends and neighbors, and we never let them know, listen, forgiveness is available to you. It's something that you can have and that you can make your own through the blood of Jesus. There is power. Power, wonder-working power, where? In the blood. In whose blood? The blood of the Lamb. Look in your Bibles, please, at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. We just sang it just a moment ago. Here is John, the apostle, receiving this revelation off as he's exiled there in the Isle of Patmos, and he's been put there for the cause of Christ. And as John talks about this, as he introduces this, beginning in verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace to, from him who is and who was and who is to come, and before the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the rulers of the kings of the earth. And John breaks off into a doxology. He breaks off into a praise right here because it is that he appreciates so much the blood of the Lamb. To him, that is to Jesus, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. It is only through the blood of Jesus that we sit here as a redeemed people tonight, as a forgiven people tonight. And what I'd like to do for the remainder of our time this evening is spend some time looking at the forgiveness promises of God that are available to us today through the blood of the Lamb. What you may notice off of the top of just from the front is that all of these promises are made in Old Testament contexts. You see, all of these people were forgiven of their sins based upon the fact that God could always see the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we'll talk more about that as we get into our lesson. But if you're going to talk to somebody about what it is to be forgiven and what it is that as forgiveness is like, this is a great place to begin. And I want us to grow in our appreciation of the precious, life-giving blood of the Lamb. The great forgiveness promises of God. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 103 and verse 12. Psalm 103 and verse 12. This is the first one we're going to look at. We'll call it the East-West Promise. The East-West Promise. Psalm 103 is a prayer for the Lord's mercies, as it says in the superscription of my Bible. It is the psalmist falling down before the Lord and blessing him for his person. There's no request made in the psalm. There's no petition. There's no asking for divine vengeance or asking for divine help in the situation. It's just simply a prayer of praise for God and for His person. And you take a look particularly at verses 11 to 14. Beginning of verse 11, "As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy to those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed His transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord who pities those who fear Him." We ask the question about the forgiveness of God. Verse 11, how great is the forgiveness of God? It's so great that just like the heavens are so high above the earth, so it is that God's mercy is great to those who fear Him. Well, how far is His abundant love towards us? How far is He going to remove His transgressions from us? As far as the east is from the west. You say, how deep is the mercy and steadfast love of God? As said, father pities his children, so the Lord pities those to fear Him. Spend some time in Psalm 103, and it will make you grow in your appreciation and your awe of God and His mercy and His pardon. What He's done with our transgressions, what He's done through the blood of Jesus, is to take our sins and transgressions and move them from us in terms of distance. Sin is a burden on my journey. It's almost like you go east and I'm going to go west, and you have the ideas and the distance and the space between them, metaphorically speaking. God has placed a distance between us and our transgressions. You remember under the Old Testament system, one time a year, the people would gather together around the tabernacle and watch that high priest go into the most holy place with the blood of a goat and sprinkle on the altar, the mercy seat there, the Ark of the Covenant. And then the other one, he would place his hands on the goat, and they called it the scapegoat. And he would confess all of the sins and the transgressions of the people that they had made. And you know what they would do with that goat? They would send that goat off into the wilderness as a symbol of God taking away the transgressions and the sins of the people. Folks, that's what God has done for us through the blood of Jesus. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Turn in your Bible, please, to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Again, a number of these are going to come from the prophets. And as you look at the prophets, you'll understand that the message of the prophets is God wants you to come back. Here's a people who were God's people. And here is a people that had forgotten God days without number. And they had gone off and they had served different idols of the different nations. And they'd gone off and they'd done their own wicked things. And they had forgotten God. And you read a message of judgment. You read a message of wrath, a message of repentance there in the prophets. But what you're going to find is a message of love and forgiveness as well. Because it's not that God is sending these preachers to these nations or to Israel or to Judah and saying, listen, you're going down and you're going into captivity. But it is a constant call to say, if you will turn, there is forgiveness. We call this one the stain remover promise. That is, sin is a mess that I cannot clean. Sin is a mess that I cannot clean. You understand, again, in the book of Isaiah, here it is, he's speaking to Judah, and he's saying, God is saying, come now, let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as snow, as white as snow. Here's the idea. They had taken their sins and they had double-dipped them into this wicked, this sinful lifestyle. You ever try to get stain out of something? A couple weeks ago, I went to Mount Vernon, I think, and was about to preach there. But we went over to a couple's house for supper, and I'd held my boy who had had a cereal bar or something like that. And he had gotten chocolate all over the front of my shirt. And I'm thinking, man, I got to go and I got to preach to these people. And I'm looking at this going, what do I do? What do I do? And luckily this lady had this stain stick stuff. And she put this stuff on the shirt. I took it in the bathroom and all of a sudden it was gone. You think about our sins as a mess that you can't clean. Something that hadn't been right in years. Here's people who had done worse and worse, they had fallen deeper and deeper into idolatry, and they had deep stains on their record. And here's God's appeal to them. Come, let's sit down. Let's reason about this together. You've committed transgressions, yes, but we can talk about this. We can make this right, even though it is. Your sins may be dyed in scarlet. They shall be white as snow. Even though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And we make a whole lot of messes sometimes, don't we? You don't have to cook very long with children, and you understand that there's messes that are made. And when we get to be adults, sometimes it is. You can make a bigger mess trying to clean up the mess that you just made rather than just coming clean. You have a child that tries to clean up something, and next thing you know, there's water all over the bathroom and all over the floor, and there's soap bubbles everywhere, and they're trying to clean this up, and they're trying to make it right. That's kind of the way we do with sin, isn't it? But here it is. God promising, your scarlet sin stained on white cloth, God is, not to be irreverent, the ultimate stain lifter. We bring him to things that we cannot clean on our own, and he forgives. He cleanses us by the blood of the Lamb. One of the newer songs that I love so much is one that begins, "O cleanser of the mess I've made." Isn't that the way it is with our sins? God forgives through the powerful, the precious blood of Jesus. Think about this. This one comes from Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17. Isaiah 38, same book, verse 17. What does God do with our sins? How does he treat them? We'll call this the behind-the-back promise. How does God treat our sins whenever it is that we're washed in the blood of the Lamb? You remember David and after his sin with Bathsheba? 2 Samuel chapter 11. Here's David. He stays home when all the other kings go off to war. And he stands up on his rooftop in the evening time and he begins to look out and he sees this woman bathing. And he asks who it is and he says, well, that's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. He sends for her. She comes and she has a sexual relationship with him. She's with child now. And David, in an effort to cleanse or to clean up this sin and to try and cover it up and try, he's making a bigger mess. He calls her husband home from war and he tries to get the husband drunk and tries to get the husband to go down and have this relationship with her. And then ultimately the husband is more righteous than that. And so he has to send back the death orders for this husband in his very hands to Joab, the commander of the armies. He kills her husband to cover up the sin. Next thing you know, God sends Nathan the prophet to come and to expose David's sin. You think about how it is that sin is a spot before my eyes. And I think about Psalm 51, verse 3. For David says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me." It's almost like David couldn't do anything else because he always had this horrible thing that was standing right before his eyes. And he couldn't do anything about it. David is a broken man. Sin that's always before us is something that's going to eat away at us. It's going to gnaw at us. And everything becomes about that. Again, you read one of the repentance psalms after the sin with Bathsheba, Psalm 32, and you'll see David talking about the fact that his bones were crying out. Well, the Proverbs writer said, "The wicked flees when nobody pursues." But here's what Isaiah says. Hezekiah had a sickness. And he had been delivered from this sickness, and this is in the context of him talking about what it was that he received. Know what he said there in Isaiah 38, verse 17. He said, "You have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back." What a promise. Here is us walking together with God. And here is a sin that's before our eyes. And what God does is he puts it behind us, puts it behind his back. That is, he's not going to look at it anymore. There is forgiveness based upon what God has done for us. You know, Christians, there are sometimes that we still bear the guilt for things that we have done wrong. There are sometimes that we're dealing with the consequences of the things we've done wrong. And yes, we may suffer consequences based upon poor choices, based upon sinful choices that we made. But when we talk about the guilt of what we've been forgiven of, when we truly repent, when we change our mind with regard to those things, it's God taking our sin and putting it behind his back. There's an old proverb that said, "A man walking forward shouldn't be tripped up by what he left behind." We ought to thank God for taking our sins, taking that sin which is before our eyes, and putting it behind his back He did so by the blood of Jesus. Think about this one. This one comes from Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, still in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 43, verse 25. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. What is sin? Sin is a mark on my record. We'll call this one the eraser promise. What has God promised that He's going to do with our sin? Isaiah 43 and verse 25. I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Here's people who would not change, and God says, sin is a mark against you. When we transgress, when we violate the Word of God, God is up there and He's marking those things down, not because He wants to, but because He is going to do what's right. You remember in grade school? Oh, the teacher marked that one wrong, didn't she? Took that big red pen and she just marked that, maybe not on my papers, but probably on some of yours, right? She marked those things down and she marked those and, oh, the teacher gave me a bad grade. Well, I'm sure the teacher was just malevolent in those cases. She just hated you. She didn't much care for you. You may feel that way, but that you know that, understand that that's not right. The teacher did that because it was just to mark that one wrong, right? Here's God being a just God. He's got His eraser. And He is erasing, He is blotting out, wiping away those transgressions. You know, Job, Satan came along and Satan began to accuse God of hedging Job in and protecting Job unnecessarily. And God told Satan that he could go ahead and he could strike Job's family, he could strike Job's health, he could take away his wealth and all of those things. He said, Job is a righteous servant. You know what the Bible calls Satan is the accuser of our brethren in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. You know, Satan is looking for an occasion to look at it, to look at me in my life and say, aha, Andy messed up. I caught him. He committed this transgression. He is condemned. And God's looking at that transgression, covered by the blood of Jesus, repented of by Andy, cleansed from it. God gets out His eraser and says, what transgression is that? Now, the great mystery revealed in the New Testament is in the Old Testament, God forgave sins. On what basis could God be just and forgive sins? There was not an acceptable sacrifice. You remember reading in the book of Hebrews that the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin. Here's the thing. God in His mind could always see the sacrifice of Jesus. And as He could always see the sacrifice of Jesus, He was able to become just and the justifier of him who has faith. Romans chapter 3, verses 20 through 26. He who has faith in Jesus. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. That we have the promise that God is going to blot out our transgressions. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Think about this one. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. We will call this one the amnesia promise. The amnesia promise. Jeremiah 31, verse 34. Their sins, their lawless deeds, God said, I will remember no more. What is sin to us? Sin is a terrible reminder. In the Old Testament, there were sacrifices for everything. There were sacrifices as burnt offerings. There were trespass offerings. There were guilt offerings. There were all kinds of different offerings. And every time we committed a trespass and a transgression against God, we would come with a bull or goat, or depending on our livelihood, and we would come and we would have place our hands on the head of this bull, and the priest would kill it and catch some of the blood and sprinkle some on the altar, and then take various parts of it and sacrifice and put these things different places so that we could have atonement there in the Old Testament system. And everything in the Old Testament system, all the old law could do was point out sin and say, listen, you need a Savior. And I wonder how many of those Old Testament Israelites, taking their bull, taking their goat to go and sacrifice it, year after year, year after year, year after year, thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if we had just one sacrifice for all time? If we had one blood that was able, so the high priest didn't have to ever go back into that most holy place again. That he didn't have to go back in year after year after year after year, recognizing that that could never make him pure with regard to his conscience. That's Hebrews chapter 9. I wonder how many of them wondered about that blood. That's what everything in the Old Testament was pointing to. This time in Jeremiah 31 verse 34, when God would make a new covenant with Israel, where it is that He would say, their sins and their lawless deeds, I would remember no more. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus, to His blood for remission of sins. It said that Clara Barton, the founder of the American Red Cross, was reminded one day of a vicious deed that somebody had done to her years before. And she acted as if she'd never heard of the incident. And somebody said, well, don't you remember how this person hurt? Don't you remember that? And she said, no, I distinctly remember forgetting that. That's what God does. Hebrews is a book that's written to a people that wanted to go back into Judaism. They wanted to go back and not stay in Christianity because it was hard. And it reminds them, Hebrews reminds them, and it justifies Christianity by a discussion of the Old Testament text. And what the Hebrews writer does is go, remember that bull that you offered, that sacrifice, that animal sacrifice, and how it was that that animal's blood can never fully take away your sins. It's a terrible reminder of the price of sin. And here's the blood of Jesus. Here's the new covenant, the blood of the new covenant which sanctifies us, which takes away our sins, where God says in Jeremiah 31 verse 34, which consequently is quoted in Hebrews chapter 8, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Through the blood of the new covenant, through the sacrifice of Jesus, we live and we work as a people who are forgiven. God takes our transgressions we've committed and chooses not to remember them. Forgiveness is, in a sense, willful forgetfulness. Not having things hanging over your head or sensitivity to those things. And God gives us this promise that He will remember them no more. They are not in His mind. Last one this evening. Turn in your Bibles to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. What is sin to us? What is the forgiveness promise? Here is what we'll call the depth of the sea promise. Sin is a weight that drags me down. We just sang a few moments ago, would you be free from the what? The burden of sin. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. We sing, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. The psalmist cried in Psalm 130, out of the depths do I cry unto you, O Lord, hear my cry. Here's Micah in Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He does not retain His anger forever because He delights in mercy. He will have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. It said that the Mariana Trench is some 35,000 feet deep. That is 6.5 miles straight down. That's the height that most airplanes fly. It's pretty safe to say if we take a trip down to the coast, we drive 90 miles out in the middle of the ocean, or we drive the boat 90 miles out in the middle of the ocean, and we throw something into the ocean, there's a good chance we're not going to see that again. Would you agree with that? Thinking about our sins, thinking about our transgressions, here's God taking the difficulties, the sinful things that I've done in my life, those things which are now covered by the blood of Jesus, and God taking those things and throwing them overboard, throwing them into the depth of the sea. There is power, there is power, there is wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Pardoning iniquity, passing over transgressions. God is not perpetually angry, but He is a God who delights in mercy. And He casts our sins into the depths of the sea. Brother and sister, what are we still carrying around that God has forgiven us, that God has already pardoned us from? Again, there's a difference between consequences and guilt. And in dealing with consequences, I may still understand that there are mistakes and things that I should have done differently. But understanding the fact that those guilt for those sins, I bear those things no more. God has taken those things, He's put them behind His back, He has thrown them into the depths of the sea. He has taken those things and chosen not to remember them. He has forgotten those sins and lawless deeds He will remember no more. Why is it that we have such a hard time with forgiveness? If we understood the power, the wonder-working power of the blood of Jesus. And we who are covered with that blood, we who are being continually cleansed from our sins, from our transgressions, because it is that we choose to walk in the light, to fashion ourselves with our eyes fixed on Jesus, living every single day to the glory of the Father, we have no reason to feel guilty, because God has taken those things, and He's taken those things away by the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness is a wonderful gift. It's something that we can claim for our own. Forgiveness is ours after it is that we will repent, that is, to see things God's way, to resolve to do His will, and to say, I want to look at sin the same way God does. Paul would say to the Christians there in Rome, abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good. That's what God does. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Christ died on the cross for our forgiveness, and we can hold our heads high that no matter what this world does or to us or says about us, we have that right relationship with the Father. The ad is in the paper. Paco, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. That's what our God has told us. And if you need forgiveness this evening, it is available. If you're already a Christian, it involves you repenting and changing your mind with regard to the sin that you've already been a part of. It involves you fashioning your life and walking in the light, just as He is in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. But if you are not a New Testament Christian this evening, it involves your faith in Jesus Christ. It involves in your belief as Him as the Son of God, the one who has taken away the sins of the world, John chapter 1 and verse 27. It involves you confessing His name before men, Matthew 10 and verse 34. It involves you repenting of your sins, Acts 2 verse 38. And it involves, as Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Your sins can be washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, this very evening. Won't you come as we stand and sing our invitation song? Receive that forgiveness.